Most of you know me as a priest, and because of that, you might assume that I have always been a faithful Catholic. But that was not the case. Actually, I had drifted away from the Catholic faith when I was in middle school, and I stayed away from the faith until college. And during that time, I was kind of just using the morality of the world for my own standards. But I noticed as I was living that way that there was a sense of like something missing. There was a sense of emptiness, a certain sadness and unhappiness in life. And I tried to distract myself from this, and so I would use kind of anything, whether it be friends or video games or movies or card games or whatever else, any kind of entertainment to distract myself. But as soon as that activity was done, as soon as it was over with, that emptiness, that void, that unhappiness, that sadness would return. And that strange pain was at its worst one night in the summer of 2004, while I was staying at Rolla and working as an undergraduate research assistant for one of the professors in the nuclear engineering department. At that time, all my friends were gone because it was the summer. And there wasn't a whole lot of people around. And there was only so much that I could do to distract myself from the lack of fulfillment that I was experiencing in my life. And at some point, somehow that night, I started thinking about what does the future hold for me? What is going to happen if I keep living my life this way? And what came to mind was more of the same, but worse. And that insight of seeing a future of misery was something I absolutely wanted to avoid. In retrospect, it's kind of like what the Ghost of Christmas Future did for Ebenezer Scrooge in The Christmas Carol. This is what your future could be. But in the mess that I was in the desperation that I had to avoid that, I knew my life had to change, but I didn't know how to make it change. And so I did something I hadn't done in a very long time. I prayed. I got down on my knees and I started praying, which was a very awkward thing for me at the time because I wasn't even sure if God was real. I wasn't even sure if there was anyone listening. But as I continued to pray, somehow I was getting a greater confidence in God's reality. And as I continued to pray, I got a greater insight of his goodness and that he does care. And so, as I continued to pray, I prayed that God would enter into my life, that he would fix it, that he would clean up the mess that I made. And I expressed my sorrow for my sins. And I told him that I would follow him, because whatever he had in mind for me would have to be better than what I was currently living, and absolutely had to be better than what I envisioned the future would have to hold. And after a short while, there was a sense of peace that came over me. And I knew that God was real, and that he does care, and that he will help me. And with the comfort of that reality, I was able to go to bed that night. It was kind of like a light had entered into the darkness of my life at that point. A light that had healing qualities and abilities. This coming light is about the coming of the Savior. And we hear about the coming of our Savior in our first reading, where it says, "See, the Lord proclaims to the ends of the earth, say to daughter Zion, your Savior comes." This prophecy of Isaiah was a source of hope for the people of Israel. They hoped for the coming Messiah, the Christ, the one who will save them from the darkness of their own lives. Christ is the light of the world, and this light first came to us in the tiniest and most humble of ways, being born and placed in a manger, God becoming man in this profound way of humility. And it's the birth of the Savior that we celebrate today. Jesus Christ is the Savior, but he exceeded all expectations for what this Messiah was going to be, what this Christ was going to be like, and that's because he is God incarnate, the Word made flesh, God made man. Nobody could have guessed that God would actually unite himself to a human nature, become one of us in order to save us, and yet he did. And we might wonder, well, why did he do this? And we heard in our second reading, not because of any righteous deeds had he done this, but because of his mercy. He came so that he could richly pour out his grace, his mercy, his love, his salvation, and the gift of eternal life upon us. He came to offer us something that we could not have on our own. And his entire life, from that moment of birth all the way through, the time, his hidden life with Mary and Joseph in Nazareth, when he started to preach and proclaim the good news, his passion, his death, his resurrection, all of it was for our sake and for our salvation. Jesus was born to make a perfect gift of himself to God the Father, a gift of himself on the cross, to willingly undergo the punishment for all of the sins of all of humanity for all time, and to do it with a profound and infinite sense of love, a gift that was so pleasing to God, it made up for all of that, and opened the gateways for God's grace to be showered upon us, so that we too can be made whole and healed, so that we too can be with God in heaven, so we too can have our sins forgiven and be reconciled with God the Father. This love of God is so mind-boggling. It's so amazing. It's so hard for us to comprehend, especially if we've been Catholic all our lives. It's like, yeah, I heard that before. But it's important for us to recognize the depth of this reality. It's kind of like if a king were to choose to give up his kingdom to become a slave. And if that wasn't humiliating enough, to then die the death of a criminal in order to set us free. Now that sounds pretty ridiculous. Like, who would want to do that? Our God. Our God would want to do that out of love for us, to show the depths of his love and to bring us the healing we needed, to set us free from the misery of our lives, the darkness that we may experience. And he certainly set me free from the darkness that I was experiencing, that I seemed to be trapped in, that emptiness, that loneliness, that sadness, that sense of something missing in my life. He was a light in the darkness for me that night in Rolla. And when that happened, it was a restoration of that relationship with our Lord. It was a great grace and blessing. And with that restoration, I continued to grow in my relationship with the Lord, and I started to realize how he tries to communicate himself to us, to me, how he tries to speak to me. And I started to recognize some strange thoughts. Like, one of them was, go to Mass. It's like, why would I do that? And another one was, go to the Catholic Newman Center. And I had been at Rolla for a few years, and not once had those thoughts occurred to me before. And yet with those thoughts, there was also this sense of persistence, patience, gentleness, a tenderness, a loveliness with it. And yet simultaneously, there was coming from me anxiety, hesitation, resistance to the thought of actually doing these things that I'm hearing, that it's being suggested to me. And so it seemed clear to me, these must be inspirations from God. This must be God answering my prayer. This must be God revealing to me a way to a better life, a life of joy, not only in heaven, but even here on earth. He came so that we might have life, and life abundantly, even here, even now. And so it was a great blessing and joy for me to have that. But that's not to say that because I had that one experience, that reversion back to the faith, that somehow my life is now perfect. No, I'm still a work in progress. I still have my problems. Some of you might be thinking, yeah, we know. But even if there are difficulties and challenges in my life, I know that I'll still be able to get through because of my relationship with God and the joy that that gives me. Whatever darkness I may experience even now, so long as I stay close to the Lord, he can pull me through. And this is a source of great joy. And it wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for him first coming to all of us about 2,000 years ago as a little baby who was laying in a manger. And this great source of joy, the birth of the Savior, was something that we hear about in our gospel passage. The angels had appeared to the shepherds, and they told the shepherds of this good news. They shared the joy that they had with those shepherds. And the shepherds were so filled with that joy from the angels, they had to go and see this for themselves. And when they got there, when they saw Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and it was just like the angels said, they couldn't help it. They had to share with all of them and everyone they encountered the good news of what the angels had revealed and how all of it seemed to come true. And they shared that joy so that others would believe and so that others would have that joy too. And that's why I share with you my reversion story, my journey back to the Catholic faith, so that you may believe, so that you may be able to share in that joy, the joy of our Lord coming to us, the joy of our Lord saving us from the misery that we may experience in this life. And so, even though I share this with you, some of you may still have difficulty believing that such a thing is possible. And if that's the case, then I would encourage you to do what Mary did in our gospel passage, to take this and to ponder it, to reflect upon it, to allow yourself to gain greater insight upon this. Allow God to reveal to you the depths of the truth of these possibilities, that He really does care about you, that He really does want a relationship with you personally, individually. And if you already have a relationship with the Lord, you can invite Him into any area of your life where there might be darkness. Sometimes we might think, you know, okay, I can share all the good things in my life with God and with other people, but these terrible things that have happened, these sins that I've committed, I don't want to share that because that's embarrassing, that's troubling, that's problematic. We should trust in the Lord and His love for us. We can share it with Him. He's not going to condemn us. He wants to save us. That's why He came for us. That's why He died on the cross. We should share those things with Him and not be afraid of Him. That's what He wants to do, is to save us, to unite us back to Himself. And there could be some people present here who regularly go to Mass on Sundays and don't really have a relationship with the Lord. Maybe coming here out of a sense of obligation, but not exactly sure why. Maybe not really having a regular prayer life. To such a person, I would encourage you to pray, kind of like what I did, with a deep, sincere prayer, inviting the Lord to be a part of your life. Now, it may not happen immediately after one individual prayer, but everyone that I've known who have persisted in that kind of prayer, inviting the Lord into their life, asking Him to reveal Himself, has never been disappointed. It may take time, but it's worth it. To have the God of the universe as a friend, to have Him save you, absolutely worth it. And for all of us here, it's important for us to allow God to have that opportunity to be a part of our lives, to have that regular prayer life, to seek Him out, to be open to all that He wishes to give us. And so let us take a moment to consider what would be one thing that you, individually, personally, can do to try to help your relationship with God improve, to help it reach a greater depth. All of us have the ability to do that. Let us allow Him to become the light in the darkness of our lives. Because He loved us so much that He decided to come to us, not only 2,000 years ago in the form of a tiny little baby, but He loves us so much that He wants to be with us, even here, even now, the fullness of Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes to us in the most holy Eucharist.